the black people who knew in their own minds that emancipation had been right at the center of the war. They were furious when they saw emancipation pushed aside and when they saw a reconciliationist movement that seemed to show that the white North and the white South were willing to get together, forget their past animosities, and also forget that emancipation and slavery had been at the very heart of what the conflict was about. Black Americans had their own ways to remember the war. They celebrated Emancipation Days, which fell on different days of the year in different places. Juneteenth in Texas, the 19th of June was the date there, and that was taken up in some other places. There were black GAR posts. There were even some integrated GAR posts in the country. Some of those even had black officers. Black veterans would travel to Gettysburg for reunions, not on the same days the white veterans went, but they would go to remember their war effort, to remember that they had been a part of this great national cataclysm. And many of their leaders lamented the fact that the reconciliationist movement seemed to be forgetting about emancipation. Frederick Douglass was among the most outraged in this sense. As early as 1870, Douglass had complained about Northern response to news of Lee's death. He wrote that he didn't like the, quote, bombastic laudation of the rebel chief. "We can scarcely take up a newspaper," he said, "that is not filled with nauseating flatteries of the late Robert E. Lee." That became a more pronounced trend later in the century, and it just drove people like Frederick Douglass and other black men and women who remembered the war in their way to distraction. How could this war be rewritten in this sense? One of the key examples of this reconciliationist attitude came in a famous address at Washington and Lee University given by Charles Francis Adams Jr. on the centennial of Lee's birthday in 1907. Now, he's the descendant of two American presidents of a strongly abolitionist family in Massachusetts, and yet Adams forgave even Lee's devoting his military talents to the cause of disrupting the Union. He told his audience, "Under similar conditions, I would have myself done exactly what Lee did. In fact," added Adams, "I don't see how I, placed as he was placed, could have done otherwise." That is not the way that many black people wanted the war to be remembered. So the point here is that there's not a memory of the war in the 19th and early 20th centuries, but many memories. White Northern, white Southern, black American, North and South people remembered it in different ways. And people continue to approach the war in different ways. I think some modern Americans try to find lessons and information in the war that are applicable to our current situation, and their emancipation and slavery are especially important. We still, as a nation, have not come to grips with the issue of race, and we can find many echoes now of the arguments and debates that took place during the Civil War era. The war still seems to speak to our condition as a nation in those ways. I think it's much easier. Certainly, I know among my students, it's much easier for them to understand why someone would go to war to end slavery, why someone would risk lives and treasure to end slavery, than why they would do so to save the Union. The Union is hard to explain, that concept. It's much easier from our late 20th century perspective, I think, to understand emancipation. And some people look back to the war because they're concerned with questions and problems now that seem to be similar to the ones that were in place then. Debate over the relative powers of the national, state, and local governments also continues. Those during the war and those debates now sometimes sound very similar. Other modern Americans examine the war in an effort to understand what motivated people at the time. Why did people react as they did? What kinds of factors came into play to make Northerners risk so much? Why did Confederates fight so long and hard, especially the non-slaveholding ones who didn't seem to have so much at stake? Where did freedom stand in contrast to Union as a Northern war aim? Depending on which approach you use, I think you'll come up with very different understandings of the war. If you want to understand the second set of questions, why people acted as they did and so forth, you have to go to what people wrote at the time, what they said. That's the only way to do that. We can't try to use all of our assumptions and our prism of analysis from the late 20th century and apply it to those people and understand what they were doing. We really need to try to meet them on their own ground, accept them on their own terms. We don't have to like them. It's not a question of whether we like them or not, but if we really want to understand them, we need to go and see what they wrote and what they did And from those two bodies of evidence, I think we'll come as close as it's possible to come to understanding them. And we should never fool ourselves into thinking that we can understand them completely. We don't even know why we do a lot of the things we do. So we shouldn't try to think that we can understand why they did all of the things that they did. But if we're going to try, it's important, I think, to engage them on their own ground. If you do engage them on their own ground, you will find an endless amount of, I think, riveting testimony of people embroiled in enormous issues, trying to make sense of some of the most complicated and potentially destructive things that Americans have ever grappled with. I think this brings to a close our journey across the landscape of the American Civil War. I wish it didn't. I have had a lifelong fascination with this subject. I have found it amazing that it has never grown old to me. There's so much new evidence. There's so many different questions that are raised, such a rich literature and an evolving literature in this field, that I found it impossible to be bored by it or impossible to be drawn in other areas. Now, maybe it's just because I'm a boring person. I'm stuck in a very deep rut and sort of happy in my rut, but I don't think so. I think that the war offers unlimited avenues of exploration that yield fascinating insights into the events of the period, the people who participated in them, and the ways in which the great issues of that time continue to resonate now. I hope this course has managed to impart to you at least some of my enthusiasm, and that you will leave it eager to explore more on your own.
I hope you've enjoyed these lectures from our Great Courses on Tape series. To order your next course, call our customer service representatives at 1-800-TEACH-12. That's 1-800-832-2412.